Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, peeps. How are you this beautiful Saturday morning? I'm coming back for the season. I normally take off during the summer, just due to the fact that you were all busy, kids at home from school, going to the pools, going to the beaches, you know, just enjoying life and enjoying not having to be outside shoveling and everything else. So I know we're approaching the end of summer. It seemed to go by so quickly this year. So we're already midway through August, and before you know it, the leaves will be turning, and it'll be fall, and it'll be Christmas, and it'll be snow. Time seems to go faster as we're getting older. So I am back. This is just a 30-minute show. I always forget to do this, but the call-in number, if you're interested in calling me, is 646-787-8475. And that's all that's important for you to know, except for just to listen. I know I have listeners and people to follow, and I just want to shout out thank you. I appreciate it and everything else. So a lot of my categories are health, hepatitis C, diets, exercise, cooking, recovery with addiction, depression, success, and positive living. And this time I'm going to add in throughout the year and get hopefully some people to come in and talk about it, but organ transplants and how important it is to possibly be a donor, and people that have received donations. And I normally don't like talking about anything, because one thing I do realize is there is so much stigma attached out there to just being sick. It's ridiculous. Many people suffer not only with, you know, organs that are going bad, but just chronic illness, chronic pain, you know, and they get those, you know, comments about, you know, you don't look sick, or you can get up and do something. And it's just a lot. And for all my listeners, you know, if you know someone that's struggling, believe me, they really don't want to be in pain or sick. It's very frustrating. It's very depressing. You have to grab on really hard and fight, you know, just to have a positive attitude and to be grateful for the little things in life that you normally overlook on a daily basis. We tend to, and when I say we, because I'm in that category with very poor health, you know, we tend to have to hold on a lot more and fight a lot more and get depressed a lot more and really trust people a lot more. So I was really, a long time ago, because of stigmas attached to it, that I never really wanted to come out and tell people, you know, with the hepatitis C, because I didn't want people immediately thinking, you know, that I was, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, but that I was, you know, a junkie or an intravenous drug user, because that's the first thing that pops to mind. And for people that don't understand, you know, they think this is a sexually transmitted disease as well, and that you've been out, you know, doing the nasty, so to speak, with every nasty, dirty ass out there, you know, and that's not true either. So when you really break down and open up, you know, it's a very major step for people, because they do take, especially HCV patients, you know, a lot of crap from people that are just ignorant and don't understand. you know, they'll blame it on drinking, drugging, you know, and things like that. And, you know, just be unkind or cut you loose and everything else. And, you know, be afraid to be around you, thinking you're like, you know, this incredibly walking disease that they're going to catch and die. So, you know, of course, that's not true. Another reason I'm talking about stigma today is also for those of us that are in recovery. And I'm not necessarily, you know, talking about drugs and alcohol, but I am. And I don't want to say I'm in recovery. I just live, you know, without drinking and drugging. You know, I just live every day. I don't have, I guess God had really stopped me by, you know, getting me ill. And see, a lot of people think what I'm going to share next is possibly due to my drinking. But there's going to be a stigma attached to this as well. And when anything happens to an individual, I think we become more of an advocate for ourselves and for others and become very proactive in our illnesses because no one really does it for us. You know, you really have to go out there and look and talk to other people who have been there, done that. You know, reach out to as much information, 411, as you can gather. You know, try to make heads and tails of it all, especially when the illness is, like, wearing you down. But what I'm going to share, and I haven't shared on Facebook, but I've shared, you know, with just very few people, but I'm going to be coming out of my so-called shell about it because it's nothing that I've done wrong in my life to bring me where I am now. And if anybody feels that way, you know, just really kiss my ass. That's the best way I can put it. But after I have so far been undetected with the hepatitis C, I took the Harvoni. And that new drug that a lot of you see on television. And I can't stress enough for people that are in the baby boomer era, you know, that think they may not have it or were never exposed to it, you know, go and just run a blood test. It's not a big deal. You know, people with tattoos, people EMTs, people in hospitals, people who, like, borrowed other people's earrings, you know, anything where you transferred blood accidentally, if you put a Band-Aid on someone and you had an open cut, you used someone's toothbrush or a nail clipper, you know, and things of that nature, you know. I mean, those are all small logistics of how you can catch it, but, you know, everyone should get that tested, because if you've never have been out there and treated before, you know, and it's worldwide that even Obama got involved in it, you know, about testing and about how many people were losing just in the United States alone in death due to HCV. You know, just get yourself tested. I don't know how much more I could say that. I don't know. It's just a simple blood test. You go out. If you don't have it, you go on. If you do, you go to your doctor, you take the Harvoni, and then you go on, and in 3 months you're cured, or in 6 months you're cured. I mean, Harvoni is put out by, I can't think right now. It'll come to me probably as I'm speaking. I can see it in my head, and I just can't quite get it. Gilead, that's it, Gilead. So, and they have a, for anyone that's listening and they have it and it's not being covered by insurance, just dial up 1-800-MY-SUPPORT-PAP. And you'll get right into Gilead, and it's their nursing institute. Well, you'll speak with a nurse, but they'll also help you possibly get this medication for free or give you big coupons because it costs about $84,000 for 3 months treatment. So a lot of insurance companies have been a lot better about approving people because of the high epidemic, you know, that has spread. And I get a little lost when I talk too much, so anyone that knows me, just bear with me. But anyway, after I was done and I was in my doctor's office, and this particular time I decided to go alone without Michael, and he told me that he wants to be proactive with me and put me on a liver transplant list. And the rest of him was like in Charlie Brown cartoons when the teacher's talking, and he had wah, 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 wah. That's all I heard. Wah, 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 wah. And then he looked at me, I guess, and he said, do you understand what I'm saying to you? And, you know, me in my pissy ways, I'm like, I haven't gotten by the word transplant yet. And I'll be honest, it's something that I still haven't wrapped around my head. But, you know, I'm feeling sex, and it's what they call, you know, a liver disease. Now, a lot of people is what I'm going to be called, the stigma. Oh, yeah, well, she probably drank herself to death because she was, you know, she drank too much, you know. Okay, there's what I'm saying, because I heard somebody say to me the other day that my first husband should have been more stern with me and kept me, you know, in line. And I was just flabbergasted. You know, when people make dumb comments like that, I mean, I'm not really too upset about, or I can't think of the word, I'm sorry, but I'm not looking to go back into my past and dissect it and think, you know, how this happened to me. Because no matter what it is what it is. I have to get a transplant possibly in the next 1 to 3 years. And I've already been approved for it by insurance. The transplant team in my hospital has called me. I have to go see them in September. I have a lot of invasive tests to be done. And it's just September being the month of my birthday, it really does blow. But again, transplant isn't meaning that, you know, you wouldn't think that about somebody with a heart or lungs. But when you know somebody's history, you know, you don't really give the benefit of the doubt, you know, about what they where they got it from. You just really don't. You assume. And I know because I've been guilty of it too until this happened to me. You know, I know in my birth family that there is liver disease. That much I know. I don't know a lot more about our health history. I know a little bit more because I've been, you know, lucky enough to meet some first cousins that I talk to almost on a daily basis through Facebook. And, you know, we get to, you know, I can ask them pretty much anything, and they're really, really cool. And you ladies know who you are, so a shout out to you, too. And, you know, it's like all we can do is the brothers and sisters that I have reunited with. It's kind of share, but it really doesn't matter. As I said, you know, nothing, if we go back into our medical history, is going to change the fact to where I am now. So, you know, you feel right now, I'm not feeling all that well emotionally because it has still, you know, it's wrapped around my head a little bit more than it was about 4 weeks ago. But I have to be honest with you, when you hear the word transplant, and I don't know how many other people have felt like this, when you initially hear it, you know, you think that you've been handed a death sentence. You don't see the possibilities, you know, if, you know, and the good in it right then and there. You just hear transplant. And you figure, what if I don't make it? You know, I had a very good friend, Trish, who had a transplant and the liver, and she never woke up. But from what I understand, she was pretty far gone. And that's another thing, too, when you have to get on these lists and get to the top of the list, you know, you have to be really, really sick. And so either way, it's not a joyous thing to be looking at. So you tend to, there's a couple of things, you know me very well. I like a lot of movie quotes. You know, there's certain things I hear that just absolutely stick with me. And, you know, one is from With Honors with Joe Pesci, who played Simon, the homeless guy. And he was, you know, living off the campus of, I forget what school. It was a very, very good movie. And he was writing his obituary because he had asbestos in his lungs. I know it's only a character, but someone had said to him something, and I forget, but I remember his answer clearly. He said, you know, life on the way out looks a lot different than on the way in. And I really understand that. And then there's another quote that I love from Shawshank Redemption, where Red and... I can't think of his name, was sitting against the wall, and he said, you got to get busy living or you got to get busy dying, you know. So, in other words, you got to focus on one way or another. And then, of course, there's my ultimate favorite, you know, from the Rocky movies, you all know me. You know what my favorite is, and it's from Five, and I'm not going to quote the whole thing, but... You know, about life not being a bunch of sunshine and rainbows, and it's not about how hard you hit, it's how quick you get up after you hit, something of that, you know. It's just when he's talking to his son, and I just get chills. I'm getting one right now when I think about what he said. So that's going to be added on to my, my repertoire of... topics, you know, and then diet and exercise and addiction and recovery and all that will interlink around, you know, health and people more or less that are ill, because I can't relate now. I mean, I can because I was one of them, but I can't relate to, you know, I was able to get up and go to work and have a good day and, you know, walk around and do this and do that, because I can't any longer. You know, I have chronic pain aside from the fact that I have problems with the liver. You know, I can't use my feet. I can't wear shoes. I'm not trying to bitch and moan, but... You know, this is where I'm at 54. I'm going to be turning come September. So one thing, you know, be careful of people. You know, people can be very unkind. They really can be. They can really take you down and take the energy right out of you. You know, people that you expect from. And I know what we say, I never have expectations, but sometimes you do. You know, and I think sometimes it's just normal to have expectations of people. You know, I don't mean high quality standard, you know, expectations. But, you know, I recently reached out for help and it turned out to become a fiasco. You know, it became my fault. And, you know, that's the kind of crap I don't need in this time. You know, so I'm going to be very careful, you know, with, actually, I'm not going to even ask anybody to reach out, you know, it's, just right now, I'm going to get through this, you know, I tend to get back up, I tend to get back up harder, I tend to become very, very proactive in my own health care, you know, I tend to try to help other people, so it takes me out of my head, and, that's really where I stand, you know, when and if I come down to that time where, you know, I do need in-home help with, you know, for a week and a couple hours during the day so my husband doesn't have to miss work, you know, because we work, unless, you know, during the winter of some type, you know, because we're seasonal. You know, I don't want you to think we're out there, you know, migrating in the farms or anything like that. But, you know, he puts down flooring for a living. And a lot of times during weather with new structures going up and everything like that, you know, with snow and rains and everything coming into a building and they haven't proceeded to, you know, put windows on or, you know, close up the entrances and the exits. You know, there's no way you can go in and lay down any type of flooring, you know, and then residential, you know, becomes what it is. It gets a little very slow. So we're like squirrels, you know, we squirrel away everything during the season. You know, so during the, you know, the off time, you know, we can live just as we live during the summer. And, but, you know, I hate for my husband to miss work because absolutely, you know, we have to keep building our nest egg and we have to keep making sure we're okay financially. So, but I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. You know, right now my new concern is learning as much as I can about what I'm going to be going through. What I can do right now to, you know, keep me as where I am. So I don't progress. You know, there's something called the null score, which I'm not going to explain right now because I'll probably explain it, you know, differently. But in PA, to be put on the list, it has to be at 15. And I happen to be at 18. But my doctor really wanted me to wait because the Harbony could, you know, make your null score go up. So I'm having my last blood test after the 3 month thing at the end of this month with the scans for the liver. And I'm hoping to God, you know, that it didn't go up and it's just holding at 18 or dropped a point. I'm changing my diet around. Sodium is, you know, really bad for water retention because I retain a lot of water. Thank God I don't have these acidities or however you pronounce it in my stomach. But I retain it mostly in my legs, and they hurt a lot. And, you know, so again, that's my opening show. And I don't know how much I'm going to be doing about adoption this year. I'm really not on my Cancer Adoption Talk Happy page anymore. And it's not that I don't have an interest in it. It's just that, you know, there's, I'm good with where I am with it. I have a cousin who I used to speak to a lot, and he even bowled me over, hit me with a feather. I was like, yeah, okay. But, you know, as of all, most of you know my my story, and I'm one of 12. And he was telling me that he knows that I'm possibly no more than one of 20, but no less than one of 15. And I was like, you know what? I just don't want to hear it anymore. I just don't. You know, I was looking for one last sister, and I'm looking at her, let her find me, you know, let her find the rest of us. She has to know, unless she has no interest. I'm tired of, you know, I'm good with where I am. I'm not angry about being adopted. I don't agree with a lot of these, you know, angry issues out there. And, you know, I just don't, you know, I didn't have a great life, but I had a good life. And my mom and my dad were my mom and my dad. And that's all I see to it. And that's all I'm ever going to feel about it. And I did meet my birth mother. Yes, I did. But, you know, she was nothing, you know, like my mom. She just more or less became my friend. And when people say you only have one mother, it's true. But in my case, I had two, one that gave birth to me and one that raised me and loved me. So in reality, I still feel like I only had one, you know, because my mom that raised me. And, you know, and I hate to even, like, separate her from anything. She was just my mother. It's as simple as that. And that's it. You know, she was my mom, and so on and so forth. So I know I'm going to be running the shows again every Saturday morning. I may go a little earlier. Next week, I don't know what the topic's going to be yet. I'm thinking more or less in recovery. And recovery slogans and, you know, staying away from the drink and, you know, staying away from the drugs. For those of you in my recovery rooms, you know, this may be some a show you want to listen to. And then I'm thinking in time, maybe just making my show a little bit longer once we get people that want to call in and co-host, and, you know, I could set up future shows. But for now, when I'm just talking, you know, even though I can do an easy 30 minutes, you know, I think we're cool, like right here, just to get us started and get us into, you know, the beginning of school and everybody getting back into the new routine and so on and so forth. Because I'm sure that when, you know, the cold weather hits, we won't be getting up quite as early and going out and, you know, and doing the things we like to do outside. We'll have a lot more lazy mornings in the kitchen with coffee and putting our feet up. And hopefully then we'll get a little bit more listeners and a lot more followers. And that's it. But, you know, I always come back for the season. So with that, I don't even know how much time I have left. Oh, I have 3 minutes left. So let's see. What else can I share with you? Pretty much you all know how to find me on Facebook. It's Kathy Tat DeGenarda, or Kathy DeGenarda. It's no longer Kathy Katz, DeGenarda, but with a J instead of a G. I use that there in case anybody's ever looking and got that name. Plus Facebook won't let me change back to my Kathy Katz, you know, and they made me leave my Kathy Katz for, you know, giving my using my last name, and I really hate to do that. But you can find me there, you know, on Twitter it's Kathy Katz, pretty much everything it's Kathy Katz. And I spell Kathy with an I-E, C-A-T-H-I-E. So you can find me like Google, Twitter, Blogger, you know, which I've yet to get back on. I've gotten a new laptop and setting up all my old passwords that I forgot is just a pain in the butt. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So I was happy I could get the studio up and running on Blog Talk. I see it's changed. It's all dark rose, and I'm beginning to love those colors. And then, of course, this show is for you. So if anybody has a need or a cause or wants to raise awareness or has needing funding, you know, for healthcare crises and things of that nature, you know, by all means, contact me. We'll set a show up for you. We can talk, you can give you information, and so on and so forth. And I think that's really about it for today. It's, like I said, a gorgeous morning. I'm going to change real quick and take my Ellie out for a nice walk and then come back and have like a second little breakfast. And because I have to take medication in the morning for an empty stomach, but I have to eat when I wake up because I feel horrible. I don't feel well at all. My stomach feels so queasy, so I have to put something in it. And then later in some of the shows, we'll get some people who have, survived transplants, but, you know, have been a donor family or have been on, you know, received it. And that's about it. I forgot to keep my computer running, so.